In August of that year, Allen, now paroled, obtained permission to go to New York and arrange an exchange for a Patriot prisoner. This committed him to a British regiment in Nova Scotia, Canada. Alexander MacLeod, Flora's son-in-law, eventually hired a sloop called the Suki and Pokey to travel to NC under a flag of truce provided by British commanders. He landed at Brunswick and was placed under guard on the ship as the local militia asked the state government what to do. The governor allowed MacLeod to send messengers for MacLeod's wife Anna and family members, including Flora. They boarded in April 1778 after Flora supposedly gave a pair of rhinestone and glass-decorated shoe buckles to three sisters in Wilmington. The voyage to New York was so rough, she said, she nearly died. After reuniting with Allen, they shipped out to Halifax on another bad trip. There we continued all winter and spring, covered with frost and snow, and almost starved with cold to death, she wrote. The following summer, she fell again, dislocating her wrist and snapping the tendons of her good arm, which kept her at home another 2 months. She decided it was time to go back to Scotland, though Allen had to stay behind. Flora's adventures were not yet over. Her ship was a 24-cannon privateer, authorized by Britain to act as a pirate, and it spotted a possible quarry. The crew, she wrote, in our passage spying a sail, made ready for action, and in hurrying the ladies below to a place of safety, she fell and broke the dislocated arm in two. Contrary to a later myth, the ship did not enter combat. She was stuck in bed again for the rest of the trip. Back in Scotland, MacDonald learned two of her eldest sons were lost at sea in separate incidents. She shuttled between friends and family until Allen returned 4 years later, when they leased a different farm on Skye with help from another son. Their financial struggles continued. Allen grew unable to walk due to problems from his wartime imprisonment, and Flora's arms continued to plague her. She died in 1790, around age 68, and he probably passed 2 years later. A witness said that Flora's funeral was the greatest that had ever been on the island, that the cortege which wound over the hills to Kilmuir was more than a mile long, that a dozen pipers played the coronach, a Scottish dirge, and that 300 gallons of whiskey were drunk at the feasting afterwards. Despite a later claim, Flora was not buried in one of the sheets Bonnie Prince Charlie slept on at the Scottish Kingsburg. She wrote that both had served as the shroud of her mother-in-law. Samuel Johnson wrote Flora's epitaph. Her name will be mentioned in history, and if courage and fidelity be virtues, mentioned with honor. The best candidate for the site of Flora and Allen's mill is roughly 300 yards, three American football fields, downstream of the bridge, along the same side as the pullout, that is. This has not been confirmed by archaeologists. If correct, their home was on an adjacent low ridge above the creek. In that case, Allen surely rode past this spot along the left side of the creek toward the defeat at Moore's Creek, and Flora as she went to visit family and friends in the area. The orchards, farm fields, and pastures would have been on the flatter ground along the way and across the road. Walking the trail along the right side of the creek on U.S. Forest Service land will give you an extended view of the terrain owned and sites likely seen daily by the world-famous Flora MacDonald. After minor ups and downs, just before the trail makes a significant rise and curves right away from the creek, you are in the vicinity of the likely mill and home site on the far side. These events will sound familiar to fans of the Outlander books and TV series. The series' theme is a version of the 1870s Skyboat song about the overnight journey of Flora and Prince Charles. You can see artifacts owned by Flora at the Scottish Heritage Center in Laurinburg, and the shoe buckles and a silver tray believed to be hers at the NC Museum of History in Raleigh. See footnote 22. Historical tidbits. More myths about Flora persist. There is no evidence she received a formal education other than a few months of tutoring on writing as an adult. A monument claiming to mark the MacDonald home site is farther up the road on the left, placed there incorrectly based on a misunderstanding by the family that owned the land. One 1854 source placed Flora and a daughter on the Black Plantation in 1781, 3 years after they left NC. That same year, a speaker mistakenly identified a plantation called Kilgrey about 5 miles south of here as Flora's. This led the trustees of Flora MacDonald College, now Highlander Academy, in Red Springs to move two small graves there to a crypt at the college, which they marked as the resting place of her children. A descendant in Scotland debunked the idea these were her children using multiple documents in 1938, reinforced by modern publications showing the MacDonalds had no young children here. But that myth was repeated to AMREV NC as recently as 2020. In 1953, a group including local historians and a University of North Carolina journalism professor searched for and thought they had found the mill and home sites further back along the road. Also among them was famous North Carolina writer Paul Green, playwright of the outdoor historical drama The Lost Colony, which is still performed in Manteo. Green had written a musical drama that featured Flora, which premiered in Fayetteville in 1939.